New order and here to stay on XFM 104.9. Well, we're here to stay, aren't we, Steve?
True enough.
Well, for another 4 weeks anyway, then we're off.
That's
four
right.
more shows. They'll have to order a new DJ.
Right? That was genius.
Hey?
Oh, wow. Oh, it's as simple as that.
I'm Ricky Gervais, Steve Mitchell, and Carl Pilkington.
Oh, man.
Did anyone read the Guardian yesterday? It was Steve's big show. We were interviewed together.
I've never been interviewed before in the paper. I've certainly never had my photo in a national
We were very excited. We loved the interview. It was talking about our top 10 albums between us. We loved it. We talked really fast, like school kids. We were excited. It was a great interview, and all the way through, it was Ricky Gervais with his writing partner, Steve Mitchell.
Stephen Mitchell. It's not even Night Merchant.
He phoned me up the night before and he was gutted. I know, it's awful. And it was big letters and just all the way through in the caption. And it's just like, oh, God.
But it's embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? It's embarrassing because it's like I was trying to get in the paper. I couldn't believe my luck. And then that just draws attention to the fact that I'm not a celebrity and consequently they can't even remember my name.
But the worst thing was that one of my favourite albums of all time, like I said in there, was Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan. And I said, because, you know, I think one of the most beautiful songs ever is If You See Her, Say Hello. And of course these people were sort of transcribing it from, you know, a dictaphone. It came out, my favourite song of all time was If You See a Sailor.
If you see a sailor. Oh, hello. Fruity.
Oh, Bob Drillboids. Lap on the trab with, where's the sailor gone to? with Ricky Gervais and Steve LaMitchlings. Oh.
I don't know. They must have thought my name was Mitchell all along. They obviously never knew.
The evidence is there.
But I don't know why. It was like they reported in the paper that we'd been nominated for a Sony, and it said, Ricky Gervais, who hosts the breakfast show on XFM, and it's that sort of, it's just guessing. It's like, presumably someone's gone, does he host the breakfast show? And someone's gone, yeah. And that's their research done.
Yeah. But there was a thing about, The Office set in Swindon. That's someone going, just write an article about The Office. Where's it set? Swindon, I think, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even pathetic. We research the show now and again, don't we?
Yeah.
Even we look things up. Well, actually, people phone in. Usually that fella. What's that fella's name that calls in who's not got the website? He's got a funny name.
Oh.
Gilwell or something.
James.
Phone in if you remember what his name is.
Yeah.
James. James at Lose Control.
Yeah, what's his surname, though?
Oh, for goodness sake, this is just going to be interesting to him and his friends.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember?
We better play another record.
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
Johnny Mango,
that's it, yeah. Now, if you like Elvis Costello's Alison, or maybe Freeze, My Brother Jake.
One of my favourites.
Stay tuned.
Wow, you're really getting into the DJ patter today.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It's
only taken, what is it, 5 years?
Yeah.
Now you're finally as good as Foxy.
Coming up.
Yes.
That anecdote that Carl didn't get to last week about Neil Armstrong.
Oh, right.
I can't wait. It's because he took three links telling us about the horse.
Yes, of course.
The horse. Think of that.
Wow.
I went out with Carl on Thursday night.
Right.
Right. It was one of the most enjoyable nights. We went out for about, what, 5 or 6 pints, a little crawl, and adventures happened around Carl.
Yeah.
And just me sitting talking to him was just incredible. I'm thinking that a competition would be win a pint with Carl.
Yes.
Just, they just have to go for a pint and they can ask him anything they want.
Yeah.
He's just, he's just great. We met my friend, didn't we? Tell him all about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What? Yeah.
Did you enjoy it as much as Ricky, Carl?
Yeah, there was things I learned as well, like, which was good.
Okay.
You know his mate Robin, don't you?
Yeah.
I'll
discuss that later.
I'll tell you later about.
He's got all his near-death experiences to come. Win a pint, and of course coming up, Carl's homework was, the quotes. And Carl's come up with a great idea to show that anyone can do quotes. He's invented a thing like faking it, where he's got two real quotes.
Right.
Right, and he's made one up.
Okay.
And he's gonna fool us. I bet we won't be able to.
Brilliant. Sorry, what was the challenge last
week? Look at him looking at us. What's the matter with you?
It's just that before you were like, no, this is good for you. But now it's turned into a game.
At your expense.
Yeah.
Have you only just, has it only just dawned on you?
Carl, well, I'm joking. It's great, honestly. It's really good.
What was the Carl challenge last week? You said it. I thought we did the quotes last week.
No, but I gave him a
happiness.
It's all about happiness,
right.
And what the you know, pursuit of happiness.
Mm.
And it's in sort of like quote form and everything. But Carl's gonna do a couple of ones and faking it just to show. I mean, because he's been coming up with fables all week as well. Now he comes up with something, he goes, "That's a fable," isn't it? And he tells me the so he's getting good.
Now, to it all. Should we play another track? Well, have you got something? You got something special?
I brought in. I saw Elvis Costello and Jonathan Ross a couple of weeks ago, and he did just an acoustic version of Alison, and I forgot what an amazing song it is. Mm. And it's just, he's fantastic. He's the man. My aim is true. To provide quality entertainment of a Saturday.
That was awesome.
Elvis Costello and his attractions and Alison on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Steve Mitchell here and Carl Pilkington.
It's
going all right. It's going all right. I obviously been doing some acting, as you know. I mentioned it last week, doing this this sort of comedy pilot. This week, Carl, you're going to be loving this. I've been doing stunts. I swear to God, I've been doing my own stunts with the guy that once made Christopher Reeve fly as Superman, right? And I was doing stunts. I had to do a thing where my character has to commit suicide. Don't think we didn't bring that up. Were you anywhere near that horse? No? Fine, let's carry on. And, my character has to commit suicide and he has to sort of leap off a building.
Mm.
So the first
shot-
Don't
think that's something for comedy.
Well, you're up on a roof. And, obviously they had the crash mats and stuff and I had to kind of leap off, and land on the mats and stuff. And obviously I was petrified the whole time because I was wearing my glasses. Petrified that they might get broken. So I was like not really doing it properly and kind of leaping like what, you know, people when they can't dive into a swimming pool and so they put that one foot out first to sort of break their fall.
Was it you that told me that you could never get into fights?
No, I can never get into fights or go in a mosh pit because of my glasses. I've missed out in life because I can't, if I was in a fight and I say, come on then, and I was in a pub or something, they'd just have to whiff off the glasses, just knock them off, I'm done for.
Are you really short-sighted, are you?
Yeah, but anything's an advantage in a fight, isn't it? And the fact that they're just a blur is bound to hamper my otherwise brilliant, you know, ninja skills. So I've never got into a fight. I've never been in a fight at all. I've never been in the wire. So this was making me sort of a bit worried. And anyway, so then I think, well, fine, I've done my stunt. And I did it, and everyone clapped. They were pleased with it, and the guy who said I was very good. So then they drive us to the next location, right? I'm thinking, I've done my stunts now. There's a crane. I think, what's going on here? Now they need to shoot me. Like, I've already done the stunt where I've sort of leapt off the building. Now they've got to actually see me falling, right? So I have to get strapped in with this huge belt, and they clip wires onto me, and they hoist me about 30, 40 foot into the air. On this wire, and I have to, and then they drop me at great speed, and I have to scream and shout. You know, it was partly acting.
And, glasses on?
Glasses, by this time I'd managed to get some wire fixed to my glasses so they wouldn't come off my head. I assure you.
They were stunt glasses. they were doing their own stunts.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So they hoist me into there on this thing. They do a couple of sort of demo versions, you know, and just gradually ease me up higher and higher so I kind of become acclimatised to it. And, They get me about 30 feet up, and they've got these huge crash mats, like those great big ones you always see because stunt people have. And they set up the camera and stuff down below, and while I'm up in the air dangling there, they remove those crash mats, and they replace them with those really thin ones that you always see, like, teenage gymnasts using on Blue Peter. Do you know what I mean? The really thin ones they used to have at school, right? And I'm looking down at this, and I'm thinking now, they may as well have shouted up, if you fall, you're done for, but we might be able to protect the equipment. Do you know what I mean? It was so rubbish.
But you weren't going to land on the floor, presumably.
Well, the idea was that the wire would stop that.
Really. Oh, I see. But there was no safety. That was their safety.
That was the safety net.
Why did they not leave the real ones in?
Because they had to, they had to be able to do it. But anyway, what was particularly joyful is one of the other actors pointed this out, right? This is the health and safety statement from the stunt guys, right? And they obviously have to write up this health and safety statement about how they do it. And it says, we confirm that we have proper safety policies, procedures to comply with the Health and Safety Act 1974, and that we will not do anything which compromises the health, safety and welfare of your production crew, actors or members of the public. If the above situation changes, we'll advise you immediately. I mean, if they think that maybe they do want to hurt members of the public. Look at that fat one over there, just try and hit her and bring him down.
Don't worry about that one. Don't worry. She can take it.
But, so that reassured me, obviously, and, now my whole body's racked with pain. Limbs, arms, head, neck. Unbelievable.
Well, is the shot worth having?
The cameraman whispered to me,
you'll probably never use it.
Yeah, Steve, you'll wish you hadn't told that wimpy tale when you hear just three random tales of near-death experiences that Carl told me.
Right.
Coming up. I mean, honestly.
Really?
At least you had stunt people and crash mats.
Yeah.
And you got paid.
Yeah. The things that he got up to, just through stupidity,
will
put you to what? What one of them wasn't through stupidity?
Cakes.
I'm already excited.
The cake one?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
Sorry, you had a near-death experience involving a cake.
Hold on, I've got three. I've got the paper round, the snicking slate, and the Mr. Freeze. What's the cake one?
Yeah, I suppose. The cream cake.
Oh! Yeah!
Right, now you're talking in riddles. Can you have these next?
Yeah, Cooper Temple Claws. Who needs enemies? Good question, lads. Nobody. 6FM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Oh, they should print a little book of those. They're great. Oh, how you can relate any song or artist to anything else.
Easy.
Joyful.
Easy. Well, yeah, so me and Carl went out for a beer, and it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, enjoy yourself.
We started off,
good.
And you met my mate Robin, didn't you?
Yeah.
And some of the stories. Do you want to tell Steve some things about Robin that you learned?
Do you know him well?
Yes.
Well, do you know about his worm problem as a kid?
Go on.
Right. What I can remember is he had worms as a kid. Not sure how you get them. He never answered me. He was getting a bit touchy about it.
Right.
This is like the second time I met him. I think he was a bit annoyed that Ricky told me about his problem.
What, yes. Now, straight away, you not being there, instinctively, what do you think went on with this story about worms?
My suspicion is rather like when you told a group of people that Robin had once suckled milk from a cow's udder. Did you mention that as well?
Yeah.
My suspicion is that, like the cow story, the worm story is not true.
But why would he get so sort of uppity about it?
Well, imagine if that wasn't the first time he'd done it. Imagine if he did that every single time he was with somebody for the first time and Robin was just met them. He will tell that story to anyone.
But they do say there's no smoke without fire.
Poor Robin. I also told him
that's a fable.
I also told him that the way Robin cured these worms was because the doctor told his mother, right, to hold a piece of ham or cheese near Robin's anus so the worms would come out for the food, and he believed it.
I said,
Robin used to sit on Spam to try and get the worms out, and he believed it.
But Steve, right, do you remember that story about three or four years ago where there was some bloke in the army, he went away to somewhere, Vietnam or whatever, he was messing about in the woods.
Messing about in the woods? Shouldn't he have been fighting?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right, and he walked through some lake, and I think he'd cut his toe or something on something, and some worm of some sort crawled in the gash.
Yeah.
And it was in his body, and the doctor said, we've got to get this out of your body. So what they did was, they said, right, the thinnest part or something of your body that things can crawl through is on the top of your head. So they wrapped
where the skull is.
So they wrapped some bacon.
No, they didn't.
They did.
That's all right. Everyone, so he's gone in by the toe. So what we do is, I'll tell you what, that worm's probably heading straight for the head. We put a bit of bacon on it. The thinnest part of the body is the skull. Of course, it's not the thinnest part of the body. It's where your brain case is, isn't it? It's the hard. The skull.
There was a reason for it. And it was like they stuck some bacon on his head. And
as ever, the vital piece of information, i.e. the reason, Carl seems to have forgotten.
Because the worm was in his body, and they said everyone likes the smell of bacon.
Including even a Vietnamese lake worm.
They love bacon.
Remember last week when I said about the little fella with the bone with no brain, and you were proved wrong.
No. We were saying it wasn't a little fella. We were saying it was a stillborn child. It wasn't a little fella.
You're changing it now. You weren't having any of it last week.
Right, hang on a minute. I'm getting confused. There was a Vietnamese snake that went inside of a soldier.
A little, like, maggot or some sort that you have to get out of your body because it causes problems.
Yes, and so in order to get it out of the body, they strapped bacon to his head.
Yeah.
That is great. This doctor.
And did that work?
I think so. They had a picture of him smiling.
Oh, God, what, the worm or the bloke?
The bloke.
Oh, dear.
Honestly, I hope someone knows the story and it was about 3 years ago, I reckon.
Okay.
And, yeah, it did work.
G.I. bacon.
So this is why
the worm burrowed out of his head to get the bacon.
Get to the bacon.
Right. That's great.
So this is why when Robin was telling his story, I was a little bit disappointed if it wasn't true.
Right.
Because in a way,
you know, Robin's never been to Vietnam.
No, but what would you really think that Robin? Well, as Robin said at the time, Carl, why would I sit on ham then tell Ricky Gervais? It's a very good point.
Because if he was a kid, you do daft things like that as a kid.
Right.
He is the telling Ricky Gervais, though.
Yeah. And then, oh, bless him.
Okay.
And then anyway, then, Robin left and, I tried to chase him, but he got away and he knows that yeah. And then we had a few pints and then, Carl embarked on some of the greatest stories ever told. Can you tell the story about your dad?
Let me run it, I haven't spoke to him all week, so let me run it by him.
Okay, play a record.
Cause, you know.
What we got?
We've got, one of Steve's.
Yeah, well, bizarrely enough, this comes from the, Teachers 2 soundtrack, the soundtrack to the current TV series. There's a slight whiff of nepotism in the air.
Yeah.
Rick, would you like to explain why?
Well, that's why you're doing it, though my girlfriend, worked on it. But, yeah. You were gonna play this anyway, weren't you?
Well, I was, actually. Bizarrely enough, I was gonna play some I Am Clute, and, this is from, as I say, the Teachers soundtrack. And this is called To You. It's a good track. To You from the, Teachers soundtrack. That's also got, I noticed the Electric Soft Parade, The Hives, Star Sailor, Feeder, Turin Break, Smirky Rev on there. It's a good little collection.
Lovely. Carl, has just had confirmation. He's looking smug, because someone phoned up and went, it is true, it's a Laogai Chi worm, and you wrap bacon around your head. That's all the bloke knew as well.
Yeah.
And his name was Gary.
Yeah.
So I'm not having it.
No.
And he said, see, that's why the Robin thing isn't so weird. He said, but when you said he tried it with cheese, he said I was having none of it. Strokes, hard to explain. Like Carl, really?
Yes, yes.
So, Carl. Concentrate.
Yeah, go on.
So, we'll leave the worm with the bacon wrapped around the head, shall we?
Well, if you're ever caught in the jungle...
Yeah, always carry some...
Bit of Danish.
Good advice.
Lovely. So, would you like to start on your, to Steve, because I've heard all these,
Well, we won't do them all.
Well, we'll start off with the Mr. Freeze. Tell Steve the story of Mr. Freeze. This is the first time he nearly died.
This is the most serious of the lot, really, so... what it was, do you know, like, I don't know if your mum and dad did the same thing, but, like, they'd do the weekly shopping on like, a Friday.
Yeah.
So when you got to Thursday, there wouldn't be much stuff left in the cupboard, it'd just be like, you know, your Jacob's crackers and stuff like that. So when they'd been to the supermarket and they came back, I was like, you know, what's that saying, like a pig in... You know, I loved it. It was like loads of food coming in, loads of biscuits.
What is that saying?
He nearly said pig and shit.
Right.
Is that the saying?
Yeah.
Right. So, so yeah, all this food comes in.
Thank God he didn't.
Otherwise he'd have been in trouble.
That's true enough.
Because he's culpable for our actions because he's the producer. So technically, that twat's in charge. Go on.
Right. So anyway, so there's loads of food and I'm like, oh yeah, look at this, and chocolate biscuits and, you know, penguins and stuff.
Bacon.
So, and bacon.
Just in case, you never know.
So, so, anyway, my mum and dad's putting the food away. Me and our kid are like, he's already grabbed something, gone back upstairs.
It's like feral children. It's like a quest for fire. And then they run upstairs. What did you sit under the bed, gnawing at some sort of pig's trotter?
So I saw, do you remember Mr. Freeze Pops?
I do, yes. Well, they're kind of like popsicles, icicles.
Yeah, but really long, like a foot long, right? Yeah. So I thought, I'll have one of them, so I grabbed it.
Went for the nutritious stuff first.
Absolutely.
And like, my mum and dad are putting the stuff away and what have you. And I rip it open and knock it back. Right, straight away, just right back like
swallow
that.
It,
right, but it went down the wrong way, right?
So I was down like, your shirt?
So I was like, oh God, I can't breathe. And my mum and dad didn't even know what I'd ate. Do you know what I mean? I ate it so quick.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of tapping my mum on the back, going, she's going, oh God, you know, he's choking again, because I was always choking. If it was one thing, I don't know if I've got like a small throat, but I mean, even Ricky knows, I can't drink that much, can I?
Yeah.
Do you know,
or eat pebbles.
I'm not a quick drinker, I'd always, I think I'm scared of like, swallowing stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like bottle tops and mint imperials and stuff, I was always choking on stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So anyway, she's going, oh God, what's he picked up on that now?
Drop it!
And so,
hit his nose with a stick.
So I was going, oh, I'm choking. At this point, my dad had like, I think he'd put his share away, you know, his food away, and he'd gone.
His share!
Yeah,
love it.
He'd gone to watch like, Winner Takes All or whatever in a lounge, and I was in the kitchen, and I was starting to like, just I didn't care anymore. Do you know what I mean? I just got to that point where I wasn't struggling anymore.
You just thought I'm done.
I just was like falling to the ground. And my mum's going, you know, get in here, I think it's serious. And my dad comes in and sort of starts shouting at me, saying, that's what you get for being greedy. He didn't even know what I'd eaten.
Well, it was the moment to teach you a lesson, certainly.
So he's there like that, and my mum's going, oh, look at him, and my lips were going purple. and the eyes were rolling into the back of my head.
You look like Marilyn Manson.
And, so anyway, she grabbed me from behind and did that fireman thing.
The Heimlich manoeuvre.
Yeah. And, you know, winded me, and it came up, and I was all right.
What, the whole popsicle came flying back out?
You see, that's what I don't understand, because there was nothing there.
No, just a little bit. No, it swells up, doesn't it? Because it irritated it, so it went down your, this sort of, like, your epiglottis, it went down the wrong way, like, it went into your air canal instead of your throat, and it sort of spasms, and that's the fear. You've just got to calm it down and relax.
So in time, I would have been all right anyway.
You might have...
But the weird thing is, like, for, like, 3 days after that, I felt like a sort of, special person. I went to school.
I'm saying nothing.
I did full days.
A special needs person.
Yeah. I went to school the next 3 days after that. I didn't, like, wag it or anything. I did full days.
I love that. 3 days, turn over.
After 3 days, you thought, screw it.
Yeah, well, did a quick history exam. Yeah.
But have you ever had that, where you've, like, felt like I've been given another chance here?
Mm. Right, next one. Weird. That's popsicle. That's popsicle hell, we'll call that. Right, next one.
Which one's the next one?
Oh, what about your paper round?
Right.
Can I ask very quickly, did your life flash before your eyes, like they say it did?
No, I just sort of went really calm and, like, I'm ready for this now.
Right.
I wasn't bothered, you know what I mean?
You had no regrets?
No. No. It was weird. Just really weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, the paper round one. Paper round, I'd still say it's the best job I've ever had.
And he means it!
No, I really enjoyed it. It's like, you know... you don't have to work with anyone else, right? So you make your own rules.
Just think of that.
You know, you sort of
you're spreading information to people, vital information.
Giving a service, and no one else is around, you know, you can just do what you want and think about stuff whilst you're cycling around on your bike. It's really good.
Yeah.
So, so anyway.
Imagine the stuff he's thinking about when he's driving around.
Getting in the head of a salamander.
So anyway, I loved it, and even though I only got like 50p a day, right, no matter what the weather was like and stuff, I used to get up at 4:30. And, go and do the round, and,
why'd you get up 4:30?
Because I wanted to watch the Pink Panther at 5:30, so I wanted to get me paper round done.
I said, why didn't you watch the Pink Panther?
And then
he went, oh, I can't sit there thinking I've got my paper round to do.
It'll ruin it for him.
Yeah, so is it a good job or not?
So 4:30 I was up and about, and this morning it was like winter, really bad winter, bad snow, you know, freezing cold, really windy and all that. And my mum said to me before I went to bed, she said, don't be getting up tomorrow. I'll give you the 50p. I said, it's not about the 50p. So, you know, people want the papers and stuff. So,
conscientious.
So anyway, I went to bed thinking, you know, that's it. I've told her I'm still going, so, you know, whatever. Go to sleep, get up in the morning, and, put all my kit on. And I used to have layers of clothing on because it was really cold. They had, like, a big anorak on with the fur on. They had, like, waterproof pants. And I got my paper round bag, and, I went downstairs to get out, and tried to open the door, and it was locked. Thought, oh, God, so she'd locked it, so I couldn't go out, so I'm searching around the house looking for the keys. She must have hid them somewhere. I thought, oh, God, you know, I've got the papers to do. So I thought, how can I get out? So I went upstairs, climbed out of the bathroom window.
God.
Right, and to try and jump out of the bathroom window onto the porch. But the problem was, I had so much gear on, I was like the Michelin man. So I could hardly move as it is.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get out the window, and I'm like, trying to stretch down like that, get my foot on the porch. And my bag got caught on like the hook of, do you know like how you have a hook so you can put the window open?
Right, yeah.
The alarm goes on. My bag had got caught on that. I was holding onto the wall and my foot on the thing so I couldn't sort of pull it away in case I pulled it away and then fell on my head.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck there.
Dangling.
Dangling. My dad comes back from working nights.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm a burglar.
Gets out his gun.
So, so he's shouting and stuff, going mad and going, Dad, it's me. And he had to give us a hand using a...
He's heard that wily trick in Manchester before.
He had to help me using a washing prop thing. A big stick.
What did he do?
Well, he said, just hold on for your dear life. And I'll sort of push the paper bag off the hook.
Why didn't he go upstairs and sort it out?
It was at that point where I was in the middle, there was nothing you could do, do you know what I mean?
Mm,
it's at that point where you've just got to make a decision.
Yeah.
And by the time you go upstairs, who knows what might have happened.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to act there and then, not messing around.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and you could hear downstairs, now here he is, the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Dad!
Hurry up!
Panther. Ever so pink! Oh.
So that was close to death, because I must have been about 30 foot in the air.
Yeah.
And I would have, you know, that would have been nasty if I fell to the concrete paving, sure. So.
Well,
and,
there's more to come. Should we play a record and come back to this? Because he's got more.
Oh yeah, no, there must be one of them where you did fall on your head. This is the one I'm waiting for. There's got to be one. That was explained so much.
Yeah.
I nearly did. Nearly broke me back.
Jeez.
Once. My dad said, I bet I can't kick me out. And I said, I bet I can. And,
I don't remember this. You didn't tell me this one.
No, I bet you can't what?
I was in the garden, summer's day, and it was that era when, like, doing kung fu and all that was really popular.
Sure.
And I was, like, messing about in the garden, punching the tree and stuff. And my dad said...
What a kid he must have been.
My dad said, I bet you can't kick your height.
Kick your height? What, yeah, you mean kick as high as yourself?
Yeah, so I must have been, like, 5 foot or something then. And, I said, of course I can. So I bet you can't. But instead of doing it on the grass, I did it on, like, the concrete bit. Kicked it. Actually did it. I went, there you go. But then, like, get my foot down quick enough and land.
Oh, you paused to say, there, I've done it.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting your foot back on the ground.
And, landed on my back, and I'd still get back trouble now.
Do you?
Because they say that, don't they?
So, to cut a long story short, he gave me about 4 or 5 near-death experiences, and he went, and the whole point of this, he went, so that's why I think I'm going to die of something horrible, like cancer. And I went, why? He went, right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
He said, well, I don't check my balls. Wait. He said, I don't like the feel.
Carl, always check your balls.
Do you check
yours? I don't like the feel. Why don't you like the feel of your own balls?
They just, I mean, you know that I don't like bodies anyway.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It worries me a bit that you've got all that going on in your body, right, and your skin's keeping it all in place.
Stop. We're going down a whole other avenue of discussion. Let's play a track, let's come back to it.
Oh, right, I've brought in this, this is, Free, you'll know, from the jeans commercials.
Yeah, All Right Now.
A long time ago, All Right Now. But this is a great little track, into the last hour.
Yeah.
And then 3 shows to go.
That's true enough.
Until we're off the air. I'm Ricky Gervais.
With him, Steve Merchant.
Carl.
Oh,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Let's go on, tell you, we cut short last week, weren't we? You had an amazing story about Neil Armstrong, didn't you?
Well, we've been doing quotes, haven't we, like famous quotes.
Sure.
That have, you know, gone down in history.
Yeah.
And, I was saying, you know, quotes don't really matter. it's more the situation that you're in than the quote itself.
Go on.
So, like, Neil Armstrong, yeah, if he'd have said, what, you know...
Tie bacon round your head.
I'm as happy as a pig in dust.
Yeah, that would have still gone down in history as, like, being the thing that Neil Armstrong said, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
space is driven in mental, probably. But
he chose to say something profound and meaningful to befit the situation. It's, well, he got it wrong, actually. It's a small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But he was meant to say...
Yeah, we discussed this last week, really. Yeah, stop showing off.
Well, no, but people might not have listened last week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I can't imagine
people... Well, we better tell him every week, then.
Yeah, but he said, he should have said, this is one small step for a man.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had a good effort, and that's quite
and that's an example of what I'm saying. The fact that he got it wrong, but it still went down in history.
Right.
But anyway, the bit that and it didn't happen anyway, did it?
What do you mean it didn't happen anyway?
That's what a lot of people say. That no one's actually been on the moon.
Ah, yes, of course.
They filmed it in Teddington Studios.
Well, they were saying something about there was shadow on the film, and you wouldn't get shadow on the film, and. There's all sorts of things.
You know, these people that you always quote as they.
Who are they?
Are they living in jars? Are they little fellas in jars?
Look,
go on.
You know.
Do they appear to you in dreams?
I've spoken to different people about it, and there's loads of little things that if you watch that programme, that you know, of them being on the moon, there is no way they could have done it.
Right.
Done.
Fine. Yeah.
Done. Anyway. That's put to bed.
Yeah.
But anyway, as he was getting back in the spaceship on the moon, or whether it be a TV studio, he said... good luck, Mr. Croucher.
Right.
Have you heard this?
No.
And the reason he said that was because when he was a young kid, and he was I think it was Croucher, but when he was playing as a young kid in his garden, he was playing baseball with his mate, and he chucked the ball to his mate, and his mate hit the ball, and the ball went over the fence to the next door neighbour, right? So he goes, right, I'll just nip over and get the ball. And as he was getting the ball, the window was open to his neighbour's house, and he heard, like, the woman shouting at her husband saying, I'm not going to be giving you a bit rude, so if you've got a kid in the car or whatever, turn it down. What, yeah, that's covered that, yeah. Right,
genius.
I'm not, no matter how many times you ask me, I'm not going to be giving you oral sex. The day I do that, man would have walked on the moon.
Right, yeah.
He grows up, he gets on the moon, and he remembers all that story, and as he gets back in the spaceship, he says, good luck, Mr. Croucher.
Now, do you know, now, we'll have to say, I've heard that story before, but when I heard it, the woman said, the day I give you a blowjob is the day the boy next door walks on the moon, which makes it all the more profane.
Impossible.
And enjoyable. Yeah, and unlikely.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've heard the same story, Carl.
Yeah.
Look how pleased he is.
I love that.
Right, so not only have you remembered that anecdote, which may or may not be true, but of course you've also proven
the
that-
The day I give you a blowjob, even... that kid in the garden's probably gonna walk on the moon and say something about giant leaps.
But, yeah, you must have heard the thing that it never actually happened.
Yes, we've all heard it, we've all dismissed it as nonsense.
And moved on!
Yeah. And got on with our life.
Right, Carl. What? Should we do, White Van Man?
Oh, you didn't prepare me for that. We better play a track and then I'll fish out the newspaper and stuff.
Oh, this is a good little, a little bootleg track here from, Meats and Poultry here. They've, mixed, A with, Outcast.
Right.
Of course, it's great.
Is it highly illegal?
It is.
So people shouldn't rush to their tape machines now and press
play
and record.
Okay, so whatever you do, don't record this now if you're recording it. Hold on, don't say anything. Nothing, Miss Jackson, I think, by, Meats and Poultry. So there you go.
I do love these bootleg things, because they're so pointless, but they're so enjoyable.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun to do.
Yeah, exactly. They're really good fun.
But, not as much fun as White Van Carl.
White Van Carl, absolutely. Do you want to explain the premise?
Well, we take some of the sun, ask someone else, and ask Carl. It's as simple as that. The sun have just taken a normal person, we flipped it. We're gonna ask Carl the same questions about the week's news.
Yeah, just basically your opinions, Carl, as ever. What do you make of, well, obviously the big news, David Beckham's broken foot. Is this a big concern for you?
No, I mean, it's sad, you know, it's sadder for him more than anyone, because, you know, to like, be in the World Cup is like the main thing for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's still a young lad, and, I don't think he'll give up, I reckon he'll still turn up, he'll be alright, and, yeah, good luck to the lad. You know, I like David, I'm not gonna slag him off.
His words!
He says that like he knows him, like he's popping round for drinks later.
Yeah, like we tried to stitch you up.
But obviously yesterday, was it yesterday, I think, maybe Thursday, the Sun printed a big picture of, David's, foot, and encouraged everyone to touch it at midday, because hoping that this would somehow, if we all thought and prayed together, somehow that would help his foot heal. Do you believe in that?
No.
Do you have any belief in that?
No, you're going down the old, like, Yorra Geller route, aren't you?
Sure.
And it's stupid. Yeah. I mean, it's nice effort and everything, it sort of cheers everyone up.
Hold on, you believe in ghosts and warlocks and licking toads. Why is that any more stupid than all those things?
It just, it's not gonna work, is it?
Alright.
Fine.
It's rubbish.
Okay. Okay, what about this then? There's, apparently now available £1.5 million apartments available on an exclusive ship which sails around the world.
Yeah, it's like,
what do you make of that?
It's a huge thing, and you just, you live on it, and it's, I mean, in theory-
How big is it?
It's mental. It's like a town centre.
Do you know how, like, people say that the Titanic was the biggest ship? Was that only then? They've got bigger ones now, haven't they?
Yeah.
A lot bigger.
Oil tankers are much bigger, and- Yeah.
No, but actual
liners are big. Yeah. It was the biggest then, yeah.
Because my mum told me that there was one that was that big that it had like rough areas on it.
Oh God!
Don't go starboard.
Oh God!
No, but do you know what I mean.
It was like we're thinking of moving. We're seeing the captain. We're thinking of moving to a nicer area. Oh yeah.
I've heard they're very rough in aft.
Oh God! Oh, that's
they steal your tyres.
A ship so big that was rough areas. Oh,
how big is this one that you're talking about?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't give me the specifications here, but
they're huge. In theory, I mean, it's that thing with it's obviously marketing, but they're gonna solve the overpopulation crisis where soon we'll all just be floating around the sea.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I can see that, because, I mean, think about it, right? I've been talking to Ricky about it. I was hoping to buy somewhere in London, but there is no way in this world that I can afford it, right? And you look at all the wasted space, like, with the Thames. all it's doing is like collecting crisp packets and stuff and Coke cans, and people have to clean it up. Whereas if you think, if you got a load of boats on there, problem solved.
Yeah. Would you live on a boat?
Problem solved.
What's his name? Did it? Didn't he? What's that program? Is it Bergerac?
Noah. Bergerac.
There was one where he lived on a boat. I think it's quite.
That was a shoestring.
I'd give it a go anyway.
Noah. I'd like to see you living in the air, maybe in a giant hot air balloon.
Yeah, all right. But no, the boat thing. Because it is going to get bad as well, isn't it? They're saying that the water's melting or whatever.
The water's melting.
The ice is melting.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more water and less land. So in the future, it's probably going to be the way we're going to be living, isn't it?
Have you seen that film Waterworld?
Nah, I don't fancy it.
Because that sort of predicts that, yeah.
What, are they saying that the ice thing
exactly,
out?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. If you get, I mean, I think I read that like a big chunk of ice fell off one of the ice, what do you call them?
Caps.
Ice caps. Something like, I think they said it's the size of the Empire State Building or something.
Right.
It snapped off and went into the water and it's melted. And they said, oh, it's bad news, you know, that something that size is melting. But the way I look at it, if something that size falls into the water, it's like a big ice cube, and it's gonna freeze it up again. You with me?
Not really, Carl.
Go on.
Right, you get a giant ice cube, the size of the Empire State Building, stick it in the water, it's gonna make, it's gonna stick back on again, isn't it?
Well, no, only if it freezes up again.
Yeah, well, it will freeze up. The water's going to get cold again because you've just put a giant ice cube in the water.
So when you put an ice cube in a drink, the drink doesn't freeze, does it?
No, the ice melts. If you put one the size of an Empire State Building in your glass of Jack Daniels, it's going to make it freezing.
It's not going in a glass of Jack Daniels, it's going in the ocean.
I know, but I'm using my fables. Imagine a world.
Use your brain instead!
Imagine the world, imagine the sea,
like
the Arctic or whatever, as a glass of Jack Daniels.
Okay.
A big ice cube falls into it.
Yeah.
It freezes, it melts back on again. So it's, we're all right, I don't know why everyone's worrying.
Guys, God, thank God for that, I was getting panicked.
Oh, fine.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that will happen.
Should we play some more music and then come back to why
this is better than ever.
Got another one there?
Well, it's just another, your thoughts really on the Queen Mum's very British send-off that she was given this week.
Yeah.
What do you make of all those people queuing up to see her? Did you think that was incredible?
Right. Well, what we said last week, you know, there was a, I don't quite understand why there was so many people there, who were like getting really upset. Do you know what I mean? Really upset, crying and stuff. And, you know, you can lose someone who's like related to you and you don't cry like that. You sort of sit there and you think back to what you did with them and stuff and then that's it. But, the queue thing, it was, wasn't it like miles long and stuff?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Right, I was sat watching this with Susan.
12 hours queuing.
Yeah.
It never got to 12 hours.
It did, but that was the estimated time.
No,
how long is a queue when they're just like, you know, walking along? Think how far you can sort of like, you know, stagger in 12 hours.
Incredible.
It's been ridiculous. God.
Yeah. But again, you know, if they want to do that, it's their time and that, isn't it? And it was at the weekend, so they could have, it's not as if they got out of work to do it.
No.
You know, I mean, they use their own time, so good on them. But I thought, right, what they could have done, remember when I studied Che Guevara?
Yep. Yeah.
Right? And don't be offended by this, it was just an idea, because they did it with Che Guevara. Remember when they cut him up?
Yes, they cut him up, yeah.
What was the reason for cutting him up?
Well, they cut up Che in order to try and, you told us that they were going to send bits of his body to Fidel Castro and various other people, wasn't that right?
As a warning, wasn't it, though, to all the people, like, one to...
Yeah, my understanding was that they cut him up in order to, so they could bury him in different places so that there'd be one no shrine, there'd be not one place that you could go to in order
right.
to
sort of make him into a martyr. A little bit like that. I've, like,
I can vaguely see where this is going.
Six cues, and it's like, number one, you can, you know, go and pay respect to her head, or whatever.
Oh, God.
No, but think, I just was thinking the way of speeding it up. I'm not having a go, I'm not, because they haven't done it, so it doesn't matter. But
God.
They did it with Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Everybody would have felt like they've got close to her, and it would have speeded it up.
No, I mean, but I can understand.
Can I just say that genuinely, Carl is not being disrespectful here. This is his best idea to cut down the queues. So don't phone in. He's not suggesting we should have done this. He genuinely
is.
Well, but I mean, he's not doing it to be nasty or wacky or you know, he thinks this is a good idea. So
can I just throw a thought at
Che Guevara, who was like a powerful man, he did a lot for the world and what have you.
Yeah.
And
Are you aware that I feel slightly responsible for this, because have you heard of the quote, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, next one.
No, just very quick question. I can understand those that have queued for 12 hours to see the head. I'd be a little bit annoyed if I got there to find a toe.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what they could do without chopping her up. They could put about 9 queues, each could see each hip she had.
That's true enough.
Because she'd have about 9 of them.
Yeah.
So it'd just be, if you want to see the whole body, it's a 12-hour queue. If you just want to see a couple of the hips.
Here's another suggestion for you, I just thought. Right?
What?
Instead of everyone queuing to see her, why not put her on a trolley? And wheel her past everyone else.
Running.
So yeah, you could have some students on Rag Week, they can combine it. Like when they're always pushing a bed. You know, they could just run it along the queue.
No, that'd be fantastic. That'd be disrespectful.
Right, as opposed to the chopping up.
So.
Sure.
Right. But just an idea.
Just I apologise now, offended.
Anyone offended, I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Okay, finally, this is more frothy. Liz Hurley lying low, apparently, at Elton John's house to try and avoid the press now that she's had a child.
That's a good place to go to avoid the press.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Elton John's house. Yeah.
Everyone seems to be friends with Elton John.
Yeah,
every celebrity's friends
with... Why did he pop into Elton John's house? What, is he running some sort
of... Well, it was like when Robbie Williams was a drunkard and a drug addict, he went to Elton John's.
Yeah, and it was the other fellow that went there as well, was someone to, you know, to recuperate and shoulder to cry on. Is he giving out false passports?
I don't know if people have seen his history. He's not the man of, you know, I mean, I know he's cleaned himself up now, but, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe he's got this kind of insight into how to deal with celebrity.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's just genuine mates with him. I think he's just like a friendly bloke.
I think she's been doing too much lying low in the first place. That's part of the problem, isn't it?
High five, Carl.
That was a genuine joke from Carl there. And he's so proud of himself. Look at his little face.
Too much lying low.
Oh, that was my man.
I agree with you. Why can't she just go around to her mum and dad's or something rather than Elton John where everyone's looking? Yeah.
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 That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was good, yeah.
Very good, yeah. Right, what music we got? We got,
a bit of Flaming Lips.
Flaming Lips, excellent. There's the classic Race for the Prize. Should have been a big hit, never was, have you?
Exactly.
The Flaming Lips and Race for the Prize. Just playing that, Rick, for everyone who emails us. We get a lot of emails every week, but obviously don't really respond to them because we're very lazy people. But we obviously appreciate it. And I play that particularly for Claire, who's emailed in saying her friend Sarah Prosser would like some Beatles. We're not going to play the Beatles this week, but Sarah apparently loves us more than words can express.
More than Carl could express.
Absolutely.
104.9, I'm Ricky Gervais, with me, Steve Mitchell. And now it's Carl's bit. It's Carl's, it's the re-education of Carl. He's like Liza Doolittle. And now he's coming to, or Lawnmower Man, if you've seen that film. More like Lawnmower Man, if you've seen the film, you'll know what I mean. His homework was to just study quotes, really, on happiness and stuff, and general well-being. He's not a big happiness quote fan, are you, Carl?
Not really.
So what have you done? You've come up with something, haven't you?
Right, yeah, I told you, right? Because a lot of these are just things you say every day. They're nothing special. So what I'm doing...
Well, you say them every day.
Well, the sort of things you come out with and you don't even think about it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're on the TV all the time, people on the radio are saying these sort of little quotes.
Sure.
And, what I've done is, remember that programme on Channel 4, Faking It?
Yeah.
Where they got some, like, posh kid to be on a door and all that. What I've done, I've,
imagine if that was the pitch for the show. Dear Channel 4. Just gonna get a posh kid on a door or something?
Yeah, yeah, come in.
Sincerely, Carl.
Come in. Yeah,
TV producer.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
So, what I've done, this little book of quotes, happiness quotes, I've picked two that are real.
Okay.
And I've made one up, right?
And we've got a guess.
And you've got a guess.
Okay, then, go on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, why don't we, when we've heard them, we won't confer.
No.
You'll write down yours, A, B, or C, and I'll write down mine, and we'll see how it
goes. Okay, Carl, off you go.
Right, and just because I'm looking at this book, it doesn't mean I'm actually reading.
No, I know.
Don't worry,
no.
We're clever.
No, we know. We can't see yet.
Can I call my bluff?
Yeah, go on, eh?
Nothing is worth more than this day.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The way I see it.
Oh God, my head's gonna burst!
No, hang on.
My head's gonna burst!
No, hang on. This might not be Carl's.
Oh, it might not be.
How do you know I haven't tweaked them a little bit?
Yeah, good point.
The way I see it, if you want the rainbow, you gotta put with the rain.
Yeah, okay.
Alright.
Alright, yeah.
Okay, hang on. It's not here.
Come on.
Cat food.
Cat food, go on.
It stinks a bit. But if you don't put up with the smell, the little kitten will die.
Steve!
Steve! I don't know what to say! I don't know what to say. Imagine this in faking it. Imagine their faces when he says that.
And they're going, oh my god. Oh.
Carl, play a song, mate.
We'll have to confer on this one.
That's just amazing, Carl. Just read them again. Two were real, one was fake. Go on in.
Right. First one. Nothing is worth more than this day.
Excellent. Next one.
What does that mean?
Well, cherish yep. now, cherish your yep. time.
Okay.
Because you can't get it back and, yep. you know.
That's the way I saw it.
Carpe diem, whatever it is, seize the day and all that.
Okay. If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, rough with the smooth. You know, it's not all plain sailing, but, you know, rainbow's beautiful, but it comes because of the rain, which you might not like, so.
Yeah.
Make the most of everything and, yeah, yep. good.
Cat food doesn't smell good, but if you don't put up with it, then the little kitten will die.
Right, now, Carl, that is a good effort. Now, that one's yours. I mean, obviously, right?
Right.
Right, no, no, but it's a good effort, right?
I mean, it slipped seamlessly into the others.
Yeah.
I don't think it didn't.
No, but is this good? I mean, we knew it was that one, but, what I will say is, it's good, but what you don't know, maybe subconsciously, is, I mean, it's very similar to, the putting up with a rain and the rainbow, but
what,
that's good.
Why do you think that?
Well,
what does mine mean?
Well, even though it smells bad, it's good for something.
Right. So I didn't look at it like that.
What did you look at that?
I kind of thought.
Was yours more specifically about cat food generally? Because right. You know, normally they like it's an analogy.
Yeah, or a metaphor for something. You know.
Well, no. The way I mean,
Dolly Parton, who I think did the rain thing. She wasn't specifically concerned about weather. Conditions.
No.
It was a sort of general idea.
Yeah,
it was all about
life. Yeah. Well, that's what I've done.
Go on. Okay,
I've used an everyday thing.
Yeah.
And put it with today's problems, right?
Go on.
So, like, my girlfriend, yeah? She might like to go shopping for clothes. I hate it.
Right.
But because I love her, I put up with it.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you love that little curtain. You can't stand the smell of the stuff, you got to feed it. But because you love it, you go, well, you know, I'll put up with this just for a few minutes and then I can, like, squeeze its head later and give it a little...
sorry, can we go back?
You know, stroke its head and stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was a bit of a slip, was it?
Squeeze its little head.
No, yeah.
Well, that's just the thing that I do with cats.
Put it in a bag and drown it in a lake.
I can feed it and then I can throw it against the wall. Exactly.
So you didn't see it like that, did you?
No, that's very good. So it's about love, is it? It's about putting up with the bad things for something you love.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
But Carl, you seem now to be convinced and rather smug that you've tricked us and that you've fooled us and that we didn't understand it. Well, I say that's your fault, not ours.
No, it's not, though. I mean, look, that man in Forrest Gump, he was a bit of a nutter. And he came up with the life as a box of chocolates thing.
Yeah.
Now, if that was in this book, you'd say, oh, yeah, brilliant, you know, good bit of work. But if he was sat here doing the show with you,
yeah,
you'd be taking the mickey out of him.
Sometimes I feel he is.
No, but, Carl, I could, in fact, if people are out there, we're too lazy, could you write down everything Carl's ever said? Because I think we could publish that.
Yeah.
He said one today, he saw my, salamander, it's not a euphemism, he saw my salamander and it's just sitting there in the tank.
Your exotic pet.
Yeah, and he's worried about there not being a lid on, and he said, I went, what were you worried about? He said, wow. He said it sits there for 24 hours a day, obviously planning to get out.
Well, it's got nothing else on its mind, and it's, the daft thing is, he has actually got the lid ripped up a little bit. Like, it's got nothing else to think about. And it'll be looking up there,
yeah.
And it's gonna get out.
But what's the worst that could happen?
What's it thinking? What do you think it's thinking, this salamander?
It's got its eye on the DVD player. I could have E and be down the market.
Well.
Oh! Oh, God!
Are they dangerous?
Could I just say something?
Are they dangerous?
I think the salamander's thinking exactly the same things as you. I mean, to look at you, you've got the same expression on your face. You know what I mean? You're dressed in green as well. You've got a little round sort of hamburglar type head, like the salamander. Very similar. And yet you know, you bonded with it, didn't you?
Yeah, but I probably would have tried to get out, but my little paper round bag would just hang on the corner.
Yeah.
Listen, can we have more nepotism on the show? I know that we did that earlier with the teacher
soundtrack. We haven't got long, have we?
We haven't. My housemate, you remember I was working out with him last week to Helen from Big Brother's Dancercise video.
That's just frightening.
Yeah, we've kind of let that slip a little bit, I've got to be honest. But anyway, he's joined this band. They're called Fujiya and Miyagi. Slightly difficult to pronounce, but anyway, this is a track that I think's been getting some play by Nick Luscombe and John Kennedy on XFM. They got a gig this week at the Pool on Curtin Road.
Well, I've enjoyed this show.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
It's great. It's been great. Carl, any more? Oh, tell that story that you were telling me about your dad when he was driving.
Well, it's just that you were talking about. Well, I mentioned Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And the Forrest Gump types. When my dad was a when he was a taxi driver.
Yeah.
He used to have to. Sort of do your bit for the local area.
Oh God!
By taking the Forrest Gump people to Blackpool.
Yeah,
is that what they're called now? The Forrest Gump people. Is that what the organisations that support them are? Ask for them to be referred to
a mini bus with life is a box of chocolates.
Exactly.
.com.
Well, Forrest Gump types.
So you work with these people. The people with learning difficulties.
And they used to get fired.
Coming home must have been a busman's holiday.
So he got five of them in the cab.
Yeah.
And he had to go to Blackpool, and four of them were really good, you know, behaving themselves, didn't mess about, weren't fighting and stuff, but there was one who was just causing loads of trouble and he couldn't control him.
God.
And what you've got to be able to do with people like that, you don't want them to get stressed out because it's not good for them. It stresses them out and you could end up with a bit
Thanks, Dr. Carl.
You could end up with a bit of a riot on your hands. So he thought, I'll nip this one in the bud right now. And he pulled up just on the outskirts of Blackpool. And he took the one out that was causing problems and put it in a wheelie bin.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologise.
He did what?
Oh,
he did it for the good of the others. He put it in a wheelie bin. It was having a good time. It thought it was one of the rides.
Can you stop saying it?
Him.
Yeah.
He was having a good time, and once he calmed down, my dad went back and picked him up, and he was fine, he had a good
day. What, he left him in there the whole time the others were in Blackpool?
No, he left him there, not the whole day, probably about an hour and a half.
In a wheelie bin?
In a wheelie bin.
Why couldn't he get out?
Because, like, his arms were trapped on the thing, one of those, one-
What, he tied him up?
No, do you know, like, when, because he was a big fella, and, like, he managed to get him in so his arms were down the side like that, so he was a bit trapped.
Wasn't he screaming and crying and stuff?
He was making a bit of noise, but do you know what I mean?
What, you feel sort of right?
Well, but anyway, I didn't really want to talk about it. You just brought it up because of Forrest Gump.
Do his, you know, family know about this? Is this the first time they'd have heard about this?
He didn't get asked to do it again. Because he had another problem similar to it, where he had a little minibus, and it was his job to take a load of old women to the bingo hall, and it was miles away. And he took him there. There was no problem. About 10 old women in a minibus.
One of them was causing trouble. So he pulled over.
No, right. So he took him there. Everything's fine. He dropped him off. They had a lovely night.
Yeah.
Right. They had a lovely night. Won a bit of cash. Coming back, it's a bit of a late night, and they all started moaning at him, going, "I want to be dropped off here. Take me there. I want to be dropped off first. I've got to get up early. Blah blah. You know, my husband's expecting me. I'm already late. Take me here first. Take me there." And he just pulled up. In the middle of nowhere, said, "Get out." And he made them get out, and they all called for taxis. They charged that company who was meant to be taking them home in the minibus, and he got the sack.
Jeez.
Well, a similar sort of story. You can't be dealing with it when people don't sort of just calm down and, like, solve the situation.
Yeah.
They're just all like, "I want to be dropped off first, take me here first, don't you?"
Yeah, so he acts like a madman.
Just came for that.
Good.
Oh, that's
all right, we've got a crack on, haven't we, really?
Says so much. Yeah.
Yes, Nick Drake, a song for the ladies this week from the album Brighter Later, at the time of a city clock. That's
goodbye.
It. Yeah,
goodbye.
See you next time.
Bye.